Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to talk a little NFL with one of the best. Brian Baldinger is an NFL Network analyst for Radio.com. You also see hear him on 95.7 The Game. You see him on Twitter at BaldyNFL. His breakdowns are essential for a better understanding of the game. Appearing on the Dial Pad guest line, Brian Baldinger here with Ray Ratto and Matt Kolsky and Damon Bruce. Thank you very much, Brian. It's good to have you on once again. And thank God, one more pretend game we can basically ignore, and we get to do this for real.
Yeah, thank goodness. I mean, that's always been the conundrum with the NFL is we jones for football for six straight months, and then it gets here, and then we got to get to a month of pretty much unwatchable football. And, you know, the more these teams have figured it out to go out and scrimmage and do some other things, the less we even see players that we want to see. So, you know, we got to wait till September 4th this year in order to kind of see some real football.
We got a very forgettable 10-snap performance out of Jimmy Garoppolo in Denver. Then he gets to Kansas City, plays an entire half, looks worlds better. What did you think of the film you watched?
Well, he was a lot better than he was the week before, and I expected he would be. You know, it's a long time to go. You know, you're looking at 10 months without playing football, and you go out there and practice and throw it around in shorts, but it's different when you get to the game. And even, you know, he made a lot of good throws, but I thought, you know, still getting the ball blocked, batted down right at the line of scrimmage, right by Chris Jones. I mean, he hit him right in the face mask with the ball. I thought he was still off a little bit. I expect him to be sharper. He needs to get sharper, I think, you know, for this 49ers offense to really jump. It'll help when George Kittle gets back in the lineup and all those things kind of get settled. But, you know, I mean, I think there's still room for him and probably still more rust to kick off here before they get started.
Is there a team in this league that made you rethink who they are between the start of training camp and now? Or are your positions that you held before all this started about the same?
Well, you saw that Kansas City offense. You know, I mean, the ball didn't hit the ground for the first quarter. I mean, Mahomes was perfect. The only pass that, you know, hit the ground was a drop. I mean, that offense, and, you know, we're just starting to see Mecole Hardman and Darwin Thompson sort of get involved in the offense. But, I mean, they look like they could be unstoppable. But, you know, I think Buffalo's going to be a lot better. You know, I think that the Giants aren't going to be as bad as what everybody makes them out to be. They got some young players that are playing really hard. You know, I think the Atlanta Falcons are going to be better than they were a year ago. You go around the league, but, you know, the Carolina Panthers were 6-2 at the halfway point last year, and they went 1-7 the second half. So we may get teams like we do every year that get, you know, off to a good start. They don't finish strong. So it's a long season. The Colts were 1-5 last year, and they went and beat the Houston Texans in a playoff game. So, and the Colts, even with Jacoby Brissett, are going to be a really good football team because they're well built. So I wouldn't even come close to writing that team off right now.
It was actually a big day for the defense, I thought, and particularly for the linebacker position in Kansas City, because ultimately, we see Malcolm Smith get cut because they like Dre Greenlaw. We also saw the first of Quan Alexander. I'm wondering on tape if that's the if that's two of their starting linebackers alongside Fred Warner. How do you feel like that group looks right now?
Well, I mean, I think Fred and, you know, Alexander are your starting inside linebackers. I mean, most teams in this league are in three wide receivers, so, you know, Dre's not going to play. But, I mean, obviously they made that decision that he's ready and he's a better fit. So, you know, when you see teams that are in two backs or two tight ends, you'll probably see, you know, three linebackers on the field, and that will be, you know, one of them. We haven't seen – look, we saw the starting defense out, minus two starting defensive ends for about a half. I mean, you know, Damian Williams goes 62 yards in third play. Nobody likes to give up that kind of play. The tackling was atrocious. So, you know, you miss tackles in this business, in the open field, and Damian Williams goes 62 yards. So, I mean, I like the linebackers, but, you know, between now and September 8th, their tackling has to, you have to decide to, if they want to tackle and get guys to the ground, or if you're just going to keep whiffing in the open field and give some of these track stars, you know, big open lanes.
Brian Baldinger on the Dial Pad guest line. John Lynch today said that Jerick McKinnon had a setback with his reconstructed knee, said it's not encouraging. If Jerick McKinnon never plays a down for the 49ers, what do you think of the Tevin Coleman, Matt Breida, Raheem Mostert backfield with a fullback from Harvard?
I think it's good. I mean, you know, Tevin Coleman has always been that change of pace back. He's got elite speed, long speed. He could be a, you can line up in the slot like he did in Atlanta, and I'm sure Kyle will do some things with him like that. But he's a real good dual threat guy. Matt Breida, you know, he's got tremendous speed, and he's got great moves. Mostert or Wilson, whoever, you know, is the third back, is just fine in that role. And Kyle will always have a role, you know, as a fullback. When they go two backs, and they'll throw it to him every now and then, he's a good receiver. So I think it's just fine. I mean, it's a shame. It really is, because, you know, I mean, he was a high-priced free agent and expected to be a big part of the rebuild in San Francisco. And these things happen in the NFL. And so it's unfortunate. I'm sorry to hear that. I really am, because I like that kid a lot. I liked him coming out of Georgia Southern. I liked what he did in Minnesota. But I think they're still fine in the backfield right now with what they have.
If you had to bet your pink slip now, who caves first, Ezekiel Elliott or Jerry Jones?
My guess is it's going to be Zeke, only because he still has two years left on his contract. I mean, it's not like he's in a contract year. He's got 2 years left. Now, he can say that he's outplayed his contract. He might have. I don't know. He won the division 2 out of 3 years with them. You know, he's been a really good player. But Jerry Jones has made a living negotiating contracts. I just don't think he's needs to kowtow. I mean, I think Zeke needs to play. I mean, I don't think he can afford to sit out, you know, with 2 years left on his deal. I mean, he can't go anywhere. He really doesn't have any leverage. Now, the only leverage he has is to withhold their service, and he might do that, like, you know, Emmitt Smith did at one point, and when they were 0-2, they caved to Emmitt. But they already had a Super Bowl under their belt, and they were a Super Bowl-built team that year. So they, you know, they were built to win it. Now, the Cowboys might feel like they are with Zeke, and they might be. I mean, they're a good football team. But I just don't think Jerry is really going to bat an eye at this thing. I think he's going to wait this out. And I think on September 8th, when they play the New York Giants, that Zeke's going to be in the lineup.
George Kittle, obviously, incredible season last season. But I think as we've celebrated that, we've forgotten that's 1 year of production, which is excellent. But is it enough to justify the level of expectations he's getting right now?
You always want to see, you know, another year and another year. You always want to put those years together. But if you hadn't had a chance to do it, then it's hard to do it. Look, when you set a record in your first, you know, year like that, an NFL record that stood a long time, I mean, the expectations are going to be high. It's probably a bad thing, to be honest with you, if George Kittle comes anywhere near the number of receiving yards that he had last year. Because it's going to mean that the receivers are bad on the outside, and George is the guy you got to throw it to. So, you know, if the 49ers want balance and they want to win football games, they're going to have to throw it, you know, to a lot more than George Kittle. So, well, I think George is going to be real integral to the offense, and I think he's worthy of being a 1,000-yard receiver for sure. It's probably a bad thing if he's that far out in front of everybody else in that team.
Brian Baldinger here on 95.7 The Game. With all the film that you watch, Brian, do you bother to watch Hard Knocks? And do you have an opinion of Keelan Doss, the receiver trying to make this team?
Well, I think I've seen one episode. I didn't see last night. So, you know, I'm not sure what got, you know, I mean, I work at NFL Films. I know all the guys that produced that show. You know, it's pretty well edited by the Raiders and what they allow in there, what they won't allow in there.
Right.
It's pretty crowded right now. When you look at Antonio Brown and Terrell Williams and J.J. Nelson, I think this Hunter Renfrow is a guy I think that, you know, you got to kind of love just because of his production. there's probably a place for Keelan Doss. I mean, I don't know that once they get their three starters out there, how much room there is for a fourth, unless there's an injury. But, you know, if you keep five wide receivers, he's certainly in the hunt right now to be one of the five wide receivers.
We buried the lead story of the NFL's preseason. I wanted to wrap up with this, and I don't want to lead the witness at all. What'd you think of Andrew Luck's announcement?
Well, I was surprised on Saturday when it came down. I really was. I did a film session with him at the Pro Bowl this year, and the one thing that came out of it when we sat down with Andrew, Ron Jaworski and myself, was that he really had a renewed love of the game after battling injuries for more than 2 years. And it just felt good to be out there with his teammates and thrown to T.Y., and he really liked the approach that Frank Reich had, and they had success, and it just felt good playing. And you could see that it was just, I mean, that's how he thought. Like, man, it just feels good to be healthy. And, you know, and so it leads me to believe that this injury that nobody really knows any diagnosis of what has happened and how much it must really bother him, and it must be painful. That's the only thing, because he had a complete renaissance a year ago. And I was surprised. But I'm also not surprised in that, you know, Andrew Luck could have been the first pick coming out of Stanford his junior year. I interviewed him on campus his senior year. He came to the interview on his mountain bike and a backpack and flip-flops, and he loved being a student. And there's some guys that can't live without this game. But I think Andrew Luck, as we found out, is one of those rare guys that can live without the game, or at least he's going to find out, that he can live without the game, without the fame and all the trimmings that come with playing the game. And I don't think he's ever going to come back. I don't think he'll regret this decision. I think this is who Andrew Luck is.
Brian, thank you so much. Always a pleasure talking with you. Can't wait to hear your breakdowns of film all year long with us. We're lucky to have you, brother.
Thanks, Damon. I appreciate it as always. Look forward to talking to you down the road.
Brian Baldinger on 95.7 The Game, one of the best. You got to be following him on Twitter, at BaldyNFL. You will be a better football fan in that one follow alone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.